I'm going to just pick up your interest by playing a video. This is from a CNN 2015. It's a short clip from CNN about the tragic death of two Taiwanese men that they were in a Kaohsiung internet cafe. One of the men, which was not told the name of the man, was Xie, H-S-I-E-H, Xie. And the man died after playing, as you watch the video. They played 3 days. One played 3 days in a row, and one died after playing 5 days in a row. And so what do we learn from looking at that? Well, I mean, other than don't play videos for 3 days in a row, because you might end up dead, right? Well, the lesson that we can learn is this. Oh, the workers did not know even for hours after Xie was dead, and turns out that nobody cared. So the lesson is this. Like, if you have some kind of emergency, don't get caught in emergency among the gamers. Because unless your dying body impedes their ability to play, they might not be any help at all. That's the lesson, okay? But there's a reason why I show you that. And to us, it may seem silly that there are people like that, that just like totally disregard the well-being of their lives. But after we get into the sermon today, we will learn that turns out many, many people are choosing that kind of lifestyle, not necessarily as tragic ending like that, those two people. But a lot of us actually are not listening when God says in his word to choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says to his people, and when he said it, this is very, very serious. He said, I call heaven and earth. Now, God is talking to his people by calling heaven and earth. So what it does mean, that means it's very serious. And to me, you know, that is also a picture of a very humble God, that he just have to, you know, use this superlative words. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, God says. And I believe this is for humanity, he say this. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your children will live. I believe it is God's will for us to live well, to choose life, and not just life in the meaning of breathing, you know, sucking air into your lung and getting it out from your lung. I believe that God, when he said choose life, he is just saying, like Jesus said, I come to give you life, and not just common life, regular life, boring life, but he comes to give you abundant life. That is what God wants for us. He wants our soul to be well, to choose life. But we will learn later that an easy choice it should be, but many people ignore the call to choose life that God wants us to choose. Someone named Raphael Simon, he's a priest and thinker and author, said this: loving God is the greatest love story. Seeking God is the greatest adventure. And finding him is the greatest achievement of mankind. This is a wise man. He knows that life can only be found. True life, abundant life can only be found by finding God. The greatest achievement when we find him. When we set our heart toward him, we set our life toward life. So we're going to go through the whole series. This is an introduction series into the series called Choose Life, and greater devotion. And the material that we are looking into, the Word of God, is the book of Haggai. So I'm going to give you the context of the book of Haggai so that we can learn the gem that brings life and allow us to choose life wisely. In the second year of King Darius, so that's immediately put us in history. There's a king, Persian king, by the name of King Darius. On the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Josadak, the high priest. So there are three names there. They all sound foreign because they are foreign to us. One is the prophet Haggai. Haggai is the prophet who got used to speak to his people. So that's the first one. And then there's a governor. His name is Zerubbabel. Right? Zerubbabel. He's the governor of Judah. And the third person there is Joshua. He's the priest. So these three people, important people in that society. And the year was 520 BC when the word of God came to Haggai. 520 BC is how many years ago? 2,500 years about. Come on, you're sleeping. 2,500 years ago. And at that time, the temple that was great, called the first temple, was already destroyed 70 years prior to that time. How many know who built the first temple? The greatest temple, beautiful temple, gold and silver and all kind of stones and all kind of color. Who built that first temple? Solomon. That's good. That's good. So that temple, Solomon, was destroyed in the year 586 BC. Okay? Now, this is 70 years later. So during that time, if you study world history, the empire called Babylonian Empire was the one superpower. Just much like United States today is a superpower in terms of the influence in culture and probably for sure economic and other areas. At that time, Babylonian Empire was the superpower, along with other superpower. How many can name three other superpowers that ever conquered the most of the known world during their time? Rome, good. What else? Egypt was one, definitely. Tell me one more. Huh? Anybody want to offer? Anybody already take world history? Huh? Babylon, exactly. This is the prior. Well, one more is Persian, right? Darius is the Persian Empire. So the Babylonian was already destroyed the temple 70 years old prior to Haggai. And then the Persian Empire defeated the Babylonian. So this is the time that we're talking about right now. Okay? And pay attention because everything that I tell you, this is to set up your deeper understanding of the Word of God. So the Babylonian took a bunch of people from Israel and put them into exile and to stay in different Babylonian cities. During the time of the Persian Empire, the Darius king, he allowed people to go back there, small number of people. And these people know the importance of building their own society back, their own nation back. So a small number went back to Jerusalem 70 years ago. And then they start wanting to rebuild. But then they got intimidated by everybody else that did not like the nation of Jews. They got intimidated by the Arabs, the Samaritans, and all kind of ethnic people that already going in and out from the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem become not only the Jew city, but everybody can go in and out at that time. So they were very intimidated by their culture. So after putting the foundation of the temple, they stopped working. They stopped building. They got intimidated. This is where we find ourselves today in reading the book of Haggai and what Haggai want to address. Okay, we're going to read four more verses. We're going to be looking only at 7 verses today total. So let's continue reading. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This people says, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Why? They stop. They only put the foundation and they stop. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourself to be living in your panel houses while this house remain as a ruin? This temple to lie in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Consider your way. So the prophet Haggai, the Lord through the prophet Haggai, spoke to the people. You say that it's not the time yet. Is it time for you yourself to be living in your panel house? Now, panel house is a house like this, paneled. Look at our walls. It's a panel with the wood. It is a symbol of luxury at that time. If you live in a paneled house rather than a mud house, you are living in luxury. You are building a nice house for yourself. And God is saying you are living in a paneled house, in a life that you built in a luxury. But yet, look, the house of the Lord is in ruin, in a mess. And what we are looking at is the Israelites has a wrong priority in life. In the beginning, they were eager to build God's house. They put the foundation. But yet, they became busy with building their own homes. They're busy building their own homes. Now, I'm looking at this and reading this. I'm thinking how similar the situation of the Israelite at that time with our lives today. Oh yeah, we are Christian and we have the foundation. We have the foundation of faith. We believe that Jesus saved us. We put the foundation. But in the course of journeying through life, how many find ourselves intimidated by our culture? Oh, the culture is not Christian. Everybody is just like not, you know, we cannot even talk about our faith anymore in the public space. In the office, it will be very, very offensive to talk about your faith to some other people that is not a Christian. But yet you find yourself finding non-believers cursing the name of Christ all the time. We are intimidated by our culture. Oh, Christian is not influential anymore. We just need to live our faith in private. Not only that, we find ourselves building our paneled house. We're busy building our paneled house. We're living in a busy society, gazillion of options. Hopefully you understand what gazillions mean, just a teenager talk. Demands from everywhere. Everyone want a piece of your time. Everyone want a piece of your commitment. Work, career, hobbies, family, school, ministries. This thing can be important. For sure they are important. However, if this thing become more important than our relationship with God, that is when our priority gets messed up. And not only our priority get messed up, it can lead to a disaster of your life. The way God has designed it, it doesn't work that way. And I believe, and this whole sermon is produced and meant to be saying that God want us to have a good life. God want us to be well. But the good life seem to be escaping from our lives. It's like it is escaping from the life of the Jews when we read in verse 6. God is saying, okay, this is the reality. You are building your panel house. You're living in luxury. But listen, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Stop right here and think, is this a spiritual problem or is it a physical problem? Is it a physical or spiritual? I think it's both. People are eating, that's physical. But I imagine if you eat enough, you will be full. But they are not. I imagine if you drink 2 liters of water in one sitting, you'll be filled. But they are not. I imagine that if you wear a lot of clothing, layers and upon layers, you will be warm. But they are not. It is as much a spiritual problem than physical problem. The result of their choice of the kind of life they live end up in total dissatisfaction. Their soul is not well. This was a big problem for them then. And I believe it is still a big problem for us today if we do not learn from this lesson that God is trying to teach us. And it's very unfortunate. Christians should be the happiest person on earth. It is unfortunate that we live our life as if we are either the stupidest or the saddest, no victory, defeated people, because we ignore what God is trying to do for our lives. Our lives is designed to be well. Our God is generous and kind God, yet we find ourselves choosing death instead of choosing life in the way we make decision about life, in the way of our choice of what we do with our time. So what is God's solution when he look at this dissatisfaction of the people that are just not doing what he wants to do? Simple. One sentence. Haggai 1, verse 7. Thus say the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Let's talk about consider your ways. When you consider your ways, what do you do? Well, if to consider something, you need to stop and consider and think. You cannot be considering something while keep on doing the same thing, because you will not have the time or the mental capacity to consider what you're doing. You need to stop. You need to stop. Incidentally, the word stop in Hebrew language is Shabbat. How many know the meaning of Shabbat? Shabbat means stop. Of course, I just tell you. Shabbat. Now, what is Shabbat? Well, Shabbat means 3 things. One is stop, for sure, but it is also a time that God stopped from his creation activities. That is called the 7th day, Shabbat. It is also God's commandment for his people to honor him on the 7th day, to stop your routine activities. Stop, cease. Left it. And how many know though? To stop is very difficult. Very difficult. I will tell you 2 stories, how difficult it is, and I think you can relate. The first one, I already arranged the first one come later on during my conversation with someone. I was driving my wife a few days ago to buy all the food and to prepare for last night event. I was driving, sending her to the grocery shopping, for grocery shopping. I was driving, and then suddenly I received a phone call from a travel agent, because I was about to buy a ticket too. And uh, the travel agent wants to discuss something with me. And I was driving, and I have a Bluetooth device. So I said, no problem, you know, let's talk about it. And, you know, while I'm driving, I can handle this. This is not a big deal. I can do this. But then my wife, who sat beside me, said, stop, go to the side of the street, let me drive. You handle this situation. I said, nah, you know, this is no big deal. This is what the new technology is all about. You know, we can drive and we can talk, you know. And I feel good if I can do that because it's killing two birds with one stone, and I like that. And, you know, it's no problem. But then she insisted. She said, stop, let me drive. No, stop. So I look at her face, and, you know, you kind of understand, you know, when she is serious. And you don't, when she's serious, you don't want to, you know, mess around with her. You know, she's a mama bear. So I stopped. And you know, she drove, and then I took care of the thing. Turns out it is, sure enough, the travel agent needs me to look at something in my notes, which is in the back seat, you know, in my bag, and then I have to bring it, and then have to read it, and I have to write something, and all that kind of thing. So I said, thank you, you know, if I did not stop, you know, this thing I cannot take care because I have to look at notes. But it just, I'm telling you the story just to point out how difficult it is sometimes to stop what we are doing. Some of you right now have a difficulty stopping from reaching out into your cell phone. There's an itching heart in you that I just like to take this cell phone and check something. You know, you cannot stop from checking your cell phone. Because why? I think it's a psychological thing. You know, it's a momentum thing. Momentum. You are moving something. You are so used to it. And somebody here, you know, a member of this church, one time installed a program in their cell phone to keep track of how many times you click in one day. I forget, the number was ridiculous, like 300 or 200 times or 300 times. That means every few minutes, you click into that cell phone. You cannot stop. It's, somebody tell me another story. It's like when you're seeing the yellow lights. By the way, I just got a ticket about 3 weeks ago. Expensive. If you don't, and it's not even a policeman stop me. I saw yellow, I was late. I cannot stop. The momentum is like going, and I don't like to be jerk, you know, like that. So I flow. When you flow, you got $585 ticket. Just from a click, no policeman. Just camera. 585. That was a very expensive a few minutes that I save. I don't make even, you know, like, this is 1 minute. Just, actually, it turns out that I only save like 3 minutes. That 3 minutes is $600. You multiply that what by 1 hour, okay, 20 by, let's say 3 minutes, 20 by 500, that's $10,000 an hour. Right? Expensive. Just because I cannot stop. I just don't like the jerking moment, you know. I could have, I guess, you know, I see yellow and I can do it like that, you know. I can do that probably, but who likes that, right? We like to roll. We like to roll. Come on, let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow until it stop you to think $600. This is the thing, right? I mean, sometime God allows $600 to stop you for a little bit. God allows sickness in your life to stop you to think a bit. If you cannot stop, God is gonna, by His mercy and grace, stop you. God says, do you want to live that way? Do you want to just always be on the go somewhere? And not well. You don't have even time to Shabbat. Because it's hard, that's why it's a commandment. I think there is a purpose. left to ourselves, we are unable to Shabbat. That's why it's a commandment. Work 6 days. The seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of total and complete rest, a sacred gathering. Don't do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to God. Stop. Wait. Don't be in a hurry. Don't just flow. That is a call and commandment to all of us living in the 21st century. A sacred assembly. So that's another portion of this. It is very difficult to stop on our own. That's why, look, I make it red. A sacred gathering. It's a time when the community stop to gather and just breathe in the love of God. We need help to stop. I know that a lot of people here today got offended when I mentioned about smartphone. But let me tell you, it is not you. It is me too. I find myself clicking and clicking. Cannot just say quiet and listen for more than 5 minutes. I don't blame you because that is my problem also. People will protest if we tell them to stop what they are doing. So what do people do when they are stressful? Oh, they do things. Me time, now is the popular word. Me time. Right? I'm tired, I'm stressful, it's me time. Shopping, vacation, cafe surfing, new sceneries. Well, let me ask you, honestly, does it work? Maybe, temporarily at least. Temporarily. But a lot of time I was reviewing my past vacation. A week before vacation usually is the most hectic time. Why? Because you try to finish everything that you need to do. So it's hectic. And then during vacation, instead of relaxing, we go to roller coaster and then walking a lot and get tired. And then, you know, if you have children, you know that vacation is not fun time. Because you have to take care of your children. You know that. Parents know that. After vacation, instead of feeling relaxed, we are feeling exhausted. That's why God says, come together, sacred gathering. Don't do any work. Now, if you do that, God says, this is what it's going to happen to you. If you take a stop, if you stop from what you're doing, the Word of God says, if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage. I'm thinking, personal advantage. Well, I have a lot of that, things that I do that for my personal advantage. If you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, not a day of duty, not a day of burden, it's not a day of, oh man, I'm no fun, this is something that I have to do because I'm a Christian. If you treat the Sabbath as the day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, a time for laughter and embrace of friend and feasting. If you honor it by refusing business as usual, the making money, running here and there, then, God says, you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I like this. I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor, Jacob. Yes, God says so. If you know how to stop, if you know how to stop from the flow of your regular life, the momentum that the world is forcing you to move, if you stop and honor God, that is going to be making your soul well. Stop and learn to breathe in God's presence as we worship. Soak in His goodness and build the supernatural strength we need to face whatever the world throws at us. a Sabbath day sacred gathering is a time to refresh your soul. You can go on and on, just like me driving with the momentum. Fortunately, the cost is only $585 and not my life. It could very well be, given the different circumstances. It's a yellow light. A lot of us, I believe, we need to see this yellow light as a warning. We do so much, crazy. I know that we can justify it by making an excuse. What can I do? It's my life. I have to work. I have to study. I need to take vacation. I need to serve my family. That's my life. What can I do? Well, it's not a new story, by the way, and it is not a unique excuse that you have. Everybody on earth has that. But God says, stop. Stop a while and consider your way. Let's talk about the word consider, because this is important. Consider, in the original Hebrew word, is shimu lepkem. Not that I know how to speak it, but I just copy it from Hebrew dictionary. But the meaning of shimu lepkem is interesting, because when I try to translate it, it does not make perfect English sense, because it says shimu is place yourself. And lepkem means inside your heart. So consider is place yourself inside your heart, which is kind of not very logical. You know, you are you. How can you place yourself inside of your heart? But what it means is simply this. Think with your heart. Consider you're in your heart. Look into your heart. Look into your heart. Take yourself deep into your heart. And the heart is the seat of will and intellect in the Hebrew tradition. That's what a heart is. So God is saying, go, look in your heart, be honest and hide nothing. Ask yourself honest question. Is this the way you want your life to go? Are you really satisfied with the flow of your life? Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Is this what you want for your life? With dissatisfaction, chasing something that you will never be satisfied about? See, the thing is, God wants our soul to be well, thriving in our life of growth and satisfaction and abundance. That's what God wants. But yet a lot of Christians ourselves finding ourselves in a place of stagnation in faith, burnout, tiredness, low mood. If we find ourselves there, something is wrong. That means we are not choosing life. We are choosing death. Yet God says, choose death, choose life. Choose life. And this is where I'm going to end with the last verse. Going back to the few verses that we read before. Haggai chapter 1 verse 4. It's a reminder and a question. Is it time for you yourself to be living in your paneled houses while this house remain a ruin? My question when I read this verse is going back to what kind of house is God talking about? Is he talking about that temple that was in the city of Jerusalem that was in ruin by the Babylonian? Then now God is concerned for his glory that he need to rebuild it? I don't think so. I don't think he's talking about physical. At least for us, it's not relevant that we're talking about a temple in Jerusalem. I think the relevant is this, that we are the temple. We are the temple. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, where God stay and live and find his dwelling. We are the temple. Yet, our temple that we built is probably paneled house right now. We are building our lives. We're building our career. We're building our academic career. We're building our family. We're building our bank accounts. All of that is fine and good, and I think it's necessary. But when that become a priority and you let the house, the temple of God, you be in ruin, I think there is some mispriority. There's some mistake there. And no wonder Christian believers, children of God, are living in such a sad, sad state. We are not well in our heart. We are not well in our lives. We are so easily failed and defeated by whatever the world thrown to us. Because we are not well. We build our panel house, but we let the temple of God be in ruin. God says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Is this how you want to live your life? You still have 20, 30, 45, 50 years. Is this how you want to live your existence? You ignore the building of God's house and build your own paneled house. God is not opposed to you building your paneled house, by the way. Let me just make clear myself. But not at the cost of letting his house left in ruin. And this is not even talking about God's glory, make it beautiful, the house and all that. It is not even for his benefit, it is for your benefit. It is for your benefit. It is for your sake, for your living well, for your sake of choosing life. It is not for his benefit. The Bible says, what house can contain my glory? What house is big enough to contain my glory? It's never about God's house. It is about you, how well you live on earth. The world is offering its story and its model of what a good life is. God has his version. Which one will we choose? Whose version will we listen to? God's version of good life or the world version of good life? Choosing life. God is warning his people today. The more, this is the reality, the more we pursue our desires, the more uncontrollable our lives will be. Listen to that. Full of stress and distraction. It was the case in the life of the Israelites people in the time of Haggai. They got double jeopardy. One from the side of the Babylonian. The other is from the side of the life that they choose. Stressful, not satisfied. And here is where I must end. By inviting you to consider your ways. See, this is only you that can make the choice. Only you can make the change. Only you can make a difference for your life. I'm inviting you to stop from your flow on a weekly basis, to enjoy God, to take Sabbath day not as a burden, not as a duty, not as a ministry, but as a gift. Sabbath is a gift for us. And you cannot go against how your body physically is being designed, how your soul is being designed. If you believe that you are created by God, God designed you a certain way, and he let us know how he designed us. Through the Bible, he told us, you need rest. You need to stop. You need to come together as a community. You need to commit yourself in being well. It is for your benefit. Sabbath is a gift for us. But yet a lot of us in our screw-up mind, we think, oh man, you know, as a Christian, what a duty, burden it is to come to church every Sunday or Saturday, you know, having to do this and that. That is a mess up. That's a mess up thinking. God gives you a gift of Sabbath for you to enjoy God, to enjoy life. Take good use. Receive the Sabbath as a gift, a day of celebration. And you know, if I have time later on, I will teach you what the Jews people do for Sabbath. It is really fun. It is really fun. It is not like, don't do this, don't do that. You know, you must do this, you must. It's not like that. Sabbath is meant to enjoy God. It's a time for embracing His love, embracing the people next to you, left and right. This is your brothers and your sister. Come on, just love them and just be together with them and enjoy the time of fellowship. Sabbath is also the time not only stopping and fellowshipping. Sabbath is the time where you feast together. So eating time after the church is really important together. I confirm that. I encourage that. Come on. It's good thing. Feasting. Feasting together. You know, we don't use the word feast that much anymore, right? But it is the word that the Bible uses. Feasting on the day of Sabbath. Just be together with family. Eat together. Walk out there instead of being in your room playing games and chatting on social media. They are their friend. They meet certain need psychology in you. Oh, you're feeling connected. But you're connected in only very, very superficial way. The people that you want to connect in a real way is the person that is right now sitting next to you. Look on your left and your right. Really? You want me, my friend? Will you accept me? Let's call out our musician and singers. How many believe that God wants you to be well? Hello? How many believe that God wants you to be well? God wants you to be well. To fill your face with smile and satisfaction. But that is determined with our ability to stop and consider. Let's all stand.